the grace of Him who makes the small great and the great small, all yours by faith in Jesus. Amen. Our text this morning comes from Mark chapter 4. It's the gospel lesson. It's the same chapter where we hear the more familiar parable of the sower and the seed. But this morning, two other parables about seed. The genius of Jesus as a teacher. Simple little things to make big lessons. From Mark chapter 4, beginning at verse 26. He also said, "This is what the kingdom of God is like. A man scatters seed on the ground. Night and day, whether he sleeps or gets up, the seed sprouts and grows, though he does not know how. All by itself, the seed produces grain, first the stalk, then the head, then the full kernel in the head. As soon as the grain is ripe, he puts the sickle to it because the harvest has come." Again he said, "What shall we say the kingdom of God is like, or what parable shall we use to describe it? It is like a mustard seed, which is the smallest seed you plant in the ground. Yet when planted, it grows and becomes the largest of all garden plants, with such big branches that the birds of the air can come and perch in its shade." With many similar parables, Jesus spoke the word to them, as much as they could understand. He did not say anything to them without using a parable, but when he was alone with his disciples, he explained everything. This is the word of the Lord. We bow our heads in prayer. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Please be seated. In the name of Jesus Christ alone, dearly redeemed disciples of our Lord, did you hear this week about the winning bid for lunch with Warren Buffett? $2.1 million benefit for the homeless in San Francisco. It's not even a buffet with Buffett. It's just lunch. Don't they know? Can't they see? Hearses don't have trailers. There's no doggy bag for your dollars when you die. All that counts is something so different than that. Why pursue these riches that are so uncertain, if we could learn a lesson from the American economy of late? So uncertain. Pursuit of all that and not even be able to answer the door when Jesus comes calling. Here I am. I stand at the door and knock. If anyone opens the door to me, I will come in and eat with him and he with me. It's not just lunch. It's alone with Jesus. And it's a great concept. Parents with children growing from those elementary years into the teen wonders find that there's great delight and benefit in a date alone with your daughter, time alone with your son. And I found In this study of this sermon text, that this is a major emphasis throughout Mark's gospel in particular, but the other ones too, this way that Jesus wanted this time alone with his disciples, how he would work for that. Come away by yourselves and rest for a while. He'd go to a different place because he was teaching his disciples. It's this time alone with Jesus. And when you know that time, like the sheep out in the dewy meadows of the early morning, you know that time alone with your good shepherd, there's nothing like it. Alone with Jesus, scattering the powerful seed. So how do you measure success? If you're a single mom trying to raise your son by yourself, or a husband whose wife is unresponsive and teaches the children to have the same bad attitude. Or a pastor in a ministry, or a congregation and its success, or in your career. How do you measure success? It's too bad that we don't outgrow this attitude that bigger is better. It's too bad that it's still part of our society. Maybe not the measure of success in a family as more kids, but big house, big toys. Same thing with the big in ministries. If you've added on to your building, then people think, oh, that must be a successful ministry. The big plans and the big bucks, always proof for the TV preachers. And true, in people's careers too, climb that ladder if you stay in the cell, people look, oh, that's, but we don't outgrow that. Martin Luther was right. It actually gets worse. The Middle Ages of your life are the time when you start to think about where your life is headed and is it successful? This coveting of position. And then in the golden years, the lust after the things of this world, the material things. It doesn't get better. But it's very much, it seems to me, the mindset of the man in this particular parable. The NIV translates, he scatters the seed. It's a different word here. That fits the parable of the sower broadcasting. The parable after this about the mustard seed broadcasting. The word here literally means to throw the seed. Almost as if this particular man in the growing seed parable is throwing the seed and trying to get it on the good ground in order to miss the path where the birds will eat it or the rocks and the thorns. You know, get it on the good ground. It doesn't matter. Doesn't matter how long he stays awake at night or worries about it. That's not what makes the seed grow. Not his effort, not his worry. Jesus drills the point home now. He said to them, this is what the kingdom of God is like. A man scatters seed, literally throws the seed, aims the seed, you could say, night and day. Whether he sleeps or gets up, the seed sprouts and grows, though he does not know how. He doesn't really know how it happens. How does it happen that you put the seed into the ground, it dies, the water and the dirt makes it grow? We're surrounded by miracles all the time and we just don't even stop to think about it. He doesn't know how it happens. All by itself, the soil produces the grain, first the stalk, then the head, then the full kernel in the head. As soon as the grain is ripe, he puts the sickle to it because the harvest has come. Or as soon as the seed allows, then it's time to get the sickle out, bring in the combine, bring in the harvest. And he was sleeping all that time. All he can do is put the seed in the ground. God must make it grow. All we can do is scatter the seed of the gospel. Only God can make it grow. Whether you're a pastor, a people, a mom, a dad, a teacher, or a worker, or whoever you are, your life and how it turns out, what you achieve in this life, is not determined by you. God wants you to get all the education you can. In Proverbs it says, knowledge is good. Use every opportunity God gives you in your life to God's glory. Don't pass those by. We don't sit back and just let things go as if, oh, God will take care of it. That's not the way the Bible teaches us. You use those opportunities, you work hard, and you trust the results to your God because his tender, loving care for you surpasses all the effort and the time and the hard work that you could put into it. All by itself, God's kingdom grows. And when you're alone with Jesus, you understand the lesson he's trying to teach us just as we watch him in the Gospels. The way he moves around, where he goes. What is it about Jesus that makes him constantly leave the crowds behind As soon as it seems like everybody is gathering around, he tells his disciples, let's go someplace else. They want to keep me here, but I came to preach to the people of Israel. All over Galilee he goes. His brothers tell him, if you really want to make a name for yourself, you got to go up to Jerusalem and let everybody see you come. You know, they don't believe in him. They're mocking him. Jesus' brothers. So he waits till he can go up to the feast incognito with nobody knowing he went. Why is that? And why report the peak of Jesus' popularity in John chapter 6, beginning of the chapter, feeding 5,000 men plus women and children with a little boy's lunch, 5 loaves of bread and 2 small fish, and then at the end of the chapter, less than 24 hours later, Jesus is left with only the 12. And that sad, sad question of our Lord, will you also go away? Why even report that? What is Jesus teaching us? Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Scatter the powerful seed. The power is not in your effort. The power is in the message, the power of the gospel. And that wonderful good news that Jesus came when he said the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. The Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. It's not just lunch. It's alone with Jesus, scattering the powerful seed and watching the kingdom grow. Again, he said, what shall I say the kingdom of God is like, or what parable shall I use to describe it? And if I held up a mustard seed here, it'd be about that big. Can you see that? My fingers are about 1/16 of an inch apart. Yeah, I think it'd be about 1/16, maybe 3/32, right about there. Mustard seed. In the Middle East, if you saw one growing, you couldn't miss it. They grow to almost 10 feet tall. And if you're a little bird with your head and feathers baking in the sun, and you finally see one of those mustard trees, oh, that shade feels good. Get out of the sun. It's a great lesson. That little mustard seed, the way it grows into that mighty plant, biggest of the herbs in the garden. And it's a lesson as simple and clear as the goose in a jet engine. Remember that one? Relatively small bird. Bring down the big bird at the sacrifice of his life. The seemingly insignificant death of that rabbi traveling all over Galilee on a Roman cross by the Jews, that seemingly insignificant death brings life for all and brings down death itself, brings down Satan and hell and sin and guilt. That life and death of the man who never went more than 100 miles from where he was born, didn't have around him the wise and important and the learned and just Galilean fishermen and a tax collector and a few other worthless scum from society. The people that followed him, tax collectors and sinners. Don't despise the little things, the Lord says. And you know the concept, you know the principle, but it sure is hard to apply in real life. Hard to get our minds there, and only the Holy Spirit can, alone with Jesus. This past week, local papers reported that a pastor in our area, another Lutheran church, over 20 years serving in a congregation that even daughtered another congregation. Great growth. Sure looked like it. But he's requested a call to someplace else. 3 open forums, much discontent in the congregation, and one of the main things on the list is the way the congregational finances are being handled. Too discouraging, I guess. The pastor is asking for a call someplace else, and apparently most of the congregation agrees with him. By the grace of God, contrast that with what the Lord has blessed here in this little congregation. Over 20 years of ministry and a call to some other place, but not by request. One open forum, phone calls, emails, private conversations, and one negative comment, which has been in the heart of my prayers for the past several years and was in the sermon text last week. In case you missed it, this was heart and core of what's been on my heart, the letter to the angel at the church at Ephesus through the pastor to the people. Jesus' letter. These are the words of him who holds the seven stars, the pastor's in his right hand, walks around among the seven golden lampstands. He says, that's the churches. I know your deeds, your hard work, your perseverance. I know that you cannot tolerate wicked men, that you've tested those who claim to be apostles but are not and have found them false. You persevered. You've persevered and have endured hardship for my name and have not grown weary, yet I have this against you. You've forsaken your first love. Remember the height from which you have fallen. Repent and do the things you did at first. If you do not repent, I will come to you and remove your lampstand from its place. What's the message for this pastor? Repent of your pride, of your laziness. Turn to the Lord for strength and honor him alone, or you have no ministry here. What's the message for this congregation? Repent of your pride, your laziness, and turn to the Lord and seek from him that heart of gold, that first love that burns for Christ alone and really wants nothing more than to be with Jesus alone and to live for him alone. This is why I asked that you would allow me to serve as your new pastor. I don't want to be the same pastor I have been. Might be fine in the eyes of the world, but in the eyes of the Lord, he looks into our hearts. He wants new, and he wants a new congregation. He does not want this congregation the way it's been. This is why the Lord sends these calls, knowing full well that in this case, I returned it. He knew that would happen, but he knew what we needed at this time. He wants us to repent of our laziness, our pride, or whatever else comes between us and Jesus, because he wants us alone with Jesus. So, there's a mustard seed, smallest seed you plant in the ground, yet when it's planted, it grows and becomes the largest of all garden plants with such big branches that the birds of the air can perch in its shade. Dear friends in Christ, disciples of the Lord Jesus, don't despise the little things. This has been a problem for God's people since ancient times. Do you remember what happened when they laid the foundation for the second temple after the Babylonian captivity? And there were Jews in Jerusalem who had seen Solomon's temple, and now they look at this foundation of the second temple. You couldn't tell the difference between the ones that were shouting for joy and the ones that were weeping for sorrow. It's so small. So the people were very discouraged from Haggai chapter 2. The Lord says, don't be afraid, you leaders, Zerubbabel, Jehozadak, Joshua, don't be afraid, be strong, all you people of the land. I am with you, he says, my spirit remains upon you, do not fear. This is what the Lord Almighty says. In a little while, I will once more shake the heavens and the earth, the sea and the dry land. I will shake all nations, and the desired of all nations will come. And you know who he is. The desired of all nations will come, and I will fill this house with glory, says the Lord Almighty. This house that you think is so small and so insignificant, when the Lord comes, Jesus alone, full of glory. The silver is mine, the gold is mine, declares the Lord Almighty. The glory of this present house will be greater than the glory of the former house, says the Lord Almighty. And in this place I will grant peace, declares the Lord Almighty. Alone with Jesus, the Prince of Peace, his disciples heard him say, do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God, trust also in me. My peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world gives, give I unto you. Do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid. The bottom line for God is getting you home to heaven. That's always his main goal, because that's his glory. to save sinners like you and me and give us the opposite of what we deserve, the grace and mercy and kindness and love of God in Christ as a free gift of his grace. It's not just lunch. Alone with Jesus, it's his word that fills our souls with joy and peace. It's his sacrament that gives us Christ's own body and blood. And it's all just a foretaste of the greatest banquet of all, at home at last in heaven with Jesus. Your life, my life, our life as a congregation, alone with Jesus and in Jesus alone. Amen.